We're just going to keep it flowing today.
It's that time again.
Is that Bruce Lee?
Yeah.
You
like what? La hora.
No.
You know. Power out.
Give me a second. It's all good. Shit happens. At least she was late because of work. Mike was late because of sleep. Mike, you turned all the notifications off. I'm pretty sure he didn't hear it. He hearing shit.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus.
Yeah.
I am Deacon Yahshua, along with
Officer Ruvain.
Officer Malek.
That's right.
G. Ruvain, let's go.
Right.
No, Malek. Oh, God.
All of his Malek.
That's right. All of his Malek hood.
Officer Tobias.
Officer Tobias.
Yes, sir.
In the house. All praise to the Most High. We back in for another one. So, as we said last week we want to be doing part two. We still got a lot of this Andrew Tate video to watch and give our commentary on. So make sure y'all still have them links from last week too. We might read some of them in that wiki stuff that I sent you.
Hey, before we get started, let's remind everyone that we're going to shut this down on this particular channel, and we're going to be going to the IUIC Phoenix channel.
Yes. So, just a reminder, this will be the last week that we're on IUIC in the classroom, all right? So if you'd like to follow the Power Hour Plus, you will not find us on Indicrat. Don't mean we're not airing.
Mm-hmm. We'll be outside.
We're going to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be exclusively on the IUIC Phoenix YouTube page. Can we post that in this main chat?
Yeah, let's get them links up.
Let's get the link up for the IUIC Phoenix YouTube page.
Yes, sir. I'll get it.
If you have not liked and subscribed and you want to receive your notification of the Power Hour, all right? Actually, next week's it'll be new moon.
Oh, yeah.
It gets dark kind of late, so we might not rock with the show.
We're going to be feasting next week.
Well, we gather Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
But typically if the holiday runs over, we won't do it. So, let me see though, because usually if it falls on it, we definitely not because we feasting, but
right.
Maybe we might be on. I'll see. Why not?
Pray for us, yo.
Yeah.
Right. Why not? So, yeah, we might be on. But we won't be on IUIC in the classroom.
That's right.
So, you know, YouTube being real finicky. You know, we like to show different clips and things like that, and we don't want to jeopardize the main page for the classroom. So we've moved all shows and broadcasts over there because, we used to broadcast on Classroom 2 and Phoenix. But Classroom 2 been shut down for months, and we can't post new content. They didn't close us. We just can't post new content.
Yeah.
So we got the archives there. So you're not gonna catch us on here. You know you could catch us on IUIC TV if the producers are doing what they're supposed to do. I haven't checked in a while, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. Our show should have been on there for over a year now.
No, we good there.
Oh, okay. So you could catch us on IUIC TV, but you can't interact with us on IUIC TV.
Right.
It'd be good for the replay. We broadcast on Facebook and Anything else we go live on? Just Facebook?
Yeah, just Facebook.
Okay, all right. So, you know.
Hey, for the old heads who still like the Twitter Periscope stream,
uh-huh.
That's there too.
Oh, that's right. I still get the Twitter notifications here and there. Yeah, that's right. I get them for the Power Hour too. I see it pop up. Yeah, so, you know, that's right, because it used to be Periscope, now it's Twitter. We're also on Twitter. But we will now be on IUIC in the classroom starting next week, all right?
Bring that.
We're going to be exclusively on the Phoenix page. So, you know, move on over that way if you don't see us over here next Wednesday on IUIC in the classroom. So, was it like day 26 or 27 of 110-plus degrees in Arizona?
Yeah, that part right there.
Yeah.
Basically the whole month of July, you know. Pretty much.
And the June.
Yeah.
Something like that. No, it's July. I don't know. It's been
at least since the second week of July.
Hey, you know, listen. I prefer people think it's like that all the time so that people can stop moving here.
We have had a lot of people move.
Yeah.
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 It's been crazy.
Yeah.
California is making everything expensive.
Right. Don't California, Arizona.
Right.
I saw that like a sticker.
Mm. Bumper sticker.
But I think it's been affecting people. I think people are shooting people like every week at Westgate.
Mm.
You remember that one dude? There was an article. The guy was burning in the middle of the street. He was like on drugs. And his skin was like melting off his body while he was bashing his head up.
Yeah. I heard like a lot of people's going into the emergency room because like they're passing out. They're passing out on the concrete.
Uh-huh.
And their brains are so hot. They're getting like second degree burns and whatever. So I said, damn, you good over there? Now we good. You know, we built for this if you've been here for a little while. I mean, unless you're Soldier Ezekiel. He act like he's been here forever.
Right.
What'd he say? Come on, that's light work.
That's light work.
Nah. Okay. Like on a random day, yeah, that's light work. We deal with that. But not when it's freaking 26 plus 3 days.
Yeah,
man, look, cactus collapsing in the heat. Even the cactus can't take it. Damn.
And they was
built for that. Even the cacti can't take it. Nah, because what happens is, listen, you know, we're coming in, we're putting concrete and asphalt.
Is this still in Spanish?
And that thing absorbs heat. This is what makes the metropolitan area so
where
hot.
Where he just poured
right?
up.
People be like, I thought the desert gets cooler at night. I mean, not strikingly cold, but it is cooler. It's supposed to be cooler at night because, like, you know, the natural stuff, dirt, stuff that the Most High created, things like that, it'll cool down in the evening. But what you have is this metropolitan area. All this concrete and asphalt soaks up all that heat. So what it does, when the sun is down, what does it do? It exudes that heat at night.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it goes into the air. Heat rises 10, 15 degrees over what it might be.
Hits the oven effect.
Right. You got the oven effect going on. So,
Hey,
you know what? I heard Texas has been really hot, too, but Texas gets humid.
That humidity.
So to have 100-plus degree temperature and humidity, that's crazy.
Mm. That part.
That's crazy. But it's been hot. I think it's affecting people's behavior and craziness. It's not light work because there's been too many days in a row of that.
Right.
Normally it kind of fluctuates. And
we had no fluctuation.
Get away from it.
I always said once it hits 110 or higher, that's when you notice it, really.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like for us who live here, like 103, 108, whatever.
It's tolerable.
Yeah.
It's tolerable.
Mm-hmm. It's Arizona. It's like it's Arizona.
Yeah, it's Arizona.
Mm-hmm. It's that point when it starts getting on your skin and you can feel like it's like a level of pain. So
you're breathing.
You know
when
you're
breathing.
I went to check the mail and I came out the car with the air just all blowing on my face. And as soon as I came out, I was like, I felt like that scene from Constantine when he went into hell.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel like. Like if you're wondering what we're doing, like,
damn.
Right. If you're wondering what we're doing, like when we come out the house in the car here, it's the scene from Constantine when he went to hell. And you saw all the flame and everything like that. And then the breeze was blowing because the tide was flipping and stuff. And the breeze is not refreshing.
It's not. Right. It's not refreshing.
It is not refreshing. When the breeze comes through, it is not refreshing.
Hell no. It's like you get off the airplane.
All praises. So it's the Power Hour is always engaging, funny. Yeah. I love it. Hey, all praise to the Most High.
Praise the Most High.
We finally got a good blend of brothers on here. Mm-hmm. You know.
Somebody's coming.
Somebody's got to come. Yeah, we try to do it different.
That part.
We put our own little. We dare to put a song on it. We put our own little song on it.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, let's pull up. Just keeping you informed, because I know maybe some people don't know. Pull up the right stuff, man.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let me see. Yeah, let's do that one. All right. So I heard Texas, man, y'all was bugging out. So I don't know if y'all heard. We just want to bring it to your attention. There is a rice ban in India. There's a rice ban in India on exports because, well, we'll read it and they'll explain. So people went out their mind in Texas. You know, like when people was doing the toilet paper thing?
Right. I was going to say, first of all, the toilet paper. Buying. Yeah.
So supposedly we're supposed to be okay over here.
Uh-huh.
But everybody hears that and they go nuts. So what happens is the toilet paper really wasn't a shortage. It's just people saw people buying it.
The fear of loss.
Right. And so it was motivating people to buy more. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that's what's happening with the rice. But I learned from the toilet paper, so I had my wife order 90 pounds of rice.
What's written the fourth time, written for your learning.
Right. Nah, so first she was like, how much? Mm-hmm. So I told her about it, and she was like, I said, well, look, you really love rice, you know? So I said, maybe we should get some more, you know? I said, rice lasts for a long time. Even if you don't do the whole storage thing or whatever, rice will, you keep it dry.
Yeah.
Rice will last you years, you know? And then you extend that by, you know, storing it and putting it in the bags and the Mylar bags and stuff. Anyway, so I told her, order some rice, you know? So she went, she asked me how much. And I said, I don't know, man, be a Proverbs 31 and
figure it out.
You know what I'm saying?
Figure it out.
She was like, this many times. I said, all right, let's do it.
Right.
I said, why not, you know? I said, it's not going to go bad. I know you love rice. You know,
hey, now you got my wife texting me about the rice.
Oh, man. I just wanted to get ahead of it before everybody lost their mind. Because it might not be a real shortage here, but then everybody buying it.
It creates a store.
Right. So, you know, I said, yo, get the rice, you know. I said, get the rice.
Be nice. Get the rice.
Mm-hmm. Right. So. Get the rice. But let's read this. Come on. And this is just to bring to your attention. And just remember, I've said this before. I remember Bishop even concurred on it. Because, you know, you'll hear things like there's, you know, the agriculture's doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as growing. And in some places, yes, depending on what it is, they're still able to grow. The crop yields are fine and all of that stuff. Some places, not so much. You know, you'll also read things how the soil's losing its nitrogen because they're not letting it rest, right? The scripture talk about letting the land rest every 7 years, right? And then you wonder why, you know, and, you know, God never explained that it was because of nitrogen and stuff like that, nor should he have to explain everything, right?
Right.
Parent, you don't explain everything to your son. You just better do that. Boy,
like Nike, just do it.
You just better do that thing. But, you know, man and science have figured out that, you know, there's top minerals on that topsoil that needs to be replenished from the sun, the air, the cycle of life, right? And when you don't give it time to rest, you start to deplete that, right? This is why they'll do things like different chemicals, GMO type of stuff,
right?
Because they want to just keep kind of raping the land, right? You know,
literally.
The earth is alive, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like literally, and it has like its own heartbeat and its rhythm and things like that, the way the Most High made creation.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't follow those type of protocols, you eventually have issues, you know. And then remember the curse of Cain, right? The earth will now yield forth the strength.
Right.
Yep.
So, you know, you have all these things. And so people just think famine's exclusively dearth, meaning, you know, that the stuff's not growing. But you can have famine based on the way the global economy is. And that's what's going to happen with this India thing, right? And I think sometimes we think in totality and we think famine in that there's zero food. But it may hit us in stages and waves, right, whereby there'll just be a shortage of certain things, but certain staple things, right?
Right.
Things that are a necessity and stuff like that. So one of these is the rice, because rice is pretty, I mean, I know for Northern
staple
Kingdom.
Food.
I know for Northern Kingdom, rice is.
And Ammon and Moab.
And, right. And Ammon and
Judah.
And Elam.
Elon.
Ah, man, Judah ain't got no. We had this discussion at the wedding.
Just the car food.
The red beans.
Y'all were there.
We were there.
But the red beans.
Did you see how poorly Judah did with that discussion?
It was horrible.
See, I'm gonna pick a fight. I'm not gonna stay on this too long. I'm gonna pick a fight. And Judah, you could try all day.
Somebody in the comments, please save Judah.
But even talk about Judah food the best. And if I take away the one meal that Judah gonna give me. There's one meal that you're going to say is the best.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got? I had probably 20 brothers?
Yeah, it was about 20.
All we could come up with was
19
five.
Of them was Judah, one was Benji.
Yeah. Now we had three. No. See, you came later.
Okay. Right? We had three meals on the menu. Mm. One of them was fish and grits.
Fish and grits. That was you, right?
Yes.
It took you a while to come up with that one.
Hey. Better late than never. We had the fish and grits, because you can't think about it. Most of the food that we eat is like fish and grits. You have mac and cheese,
fried
chicken.
Fried chicken.
I didn't want to say the fried chicken, because then somebody say I'm being racist.
Right.
So I waited till Judah said fried chicken.
Yeah. And I think we did the chicken wings after that.
No.
It was
chicken and waffles.
Chicken and waffles.
That was the three dishes that Judah came up with. Chicken and waffles, which I'll give you. The fish and grits, right? And then we had the mac and cheese with the fried chicken, the collards, right?
Yeah.
And we said you could throw Kenny in. So basically the consensus was Judah got sides, but you can't really put a whole dish together.
Right.
That's what it came down to.
And it's not for not. It's just I see these debates and people say Judah, and I'm like, but what? Tell me where is the I'm not even going to say five-star. Where's the four-star, three-star rated Judah restaurant?
So you got to go to Gladys Knight.
Right.
And
Gladys Knight.
Gladys Knight. Okay, that's one. But how many, I see, I'm just going to say, how many Northern Kingdom restaurants is out there? Because let me tell you how it got started.
We need some.
I say, why has every wedding I've been to, has Judah not served their famous Judah food that Judah's so great for?
Because it's too heavy.
That when I see all the social media debates, right? And what do they pick? Issachar food.
You can't go wrong.
And I'm not Issachar.
Right.
Because all you Judahites, that's racist because you think all the Northern Kingdom is Mexican. I'm Ephraim. I'm from the tribe of Ephraim. Okay?
Hey, none of the Judah restaurants, and I ain't knocking Judah because I'm Judah. But none of our restaurants out here specifically survived the pandemic.
Damn.
All the Issachar, all the Ephraim.
Oh, snap. Hey, no, that's Judah speaking. Judah speaking.
I'm going to be 100. Let him hear Judah.
I love Benji food. Somebody put Benji. I love Benji food.
I'm just keeping it 100. That's it. Like, all the Issachar restaurants survive. All the Ephraim restaurants survive.
I think Honey Bear's is
Judah. They still open.
Sis saying it's not the best food, but we got the best cook. Y'all ain't cooking the tacos and the enchiladas that you love so much. Stop, sis. Stop it. Stop it.
I agree with you, sis.
Hey, but Dick, it's really come down to simple math.
No, and let me tell you, I'll give you this. Now, we're not going to do that because we're repenting Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't have to take out all the unlawful stuff, you got more options.
Facts.
Yeah. Right.
But even then, it's not something you're going to eat every day.
Yeah.
And a wedding feast? Oh, yes. I have seen that. She said, I've seen the TikTok of the Judah boy crying because he wants to be Mexican because of the kids.
Yeah, I did.
I posted that to the brothers here. I said, this is Judah. This is Judah when they front and say Judah is the best food. He said, I want to be Mexican because of their food. Damn. Chicken and waffles ain't even yours. Somebody said it was invented by Northern Kingdom back in the 1940s. Between 1940 and 41.
Claude Hemmer.
Prove all
this.
Chicken and waffles was invented by the Most High when we was in the wilderness.
Because the debate will go on. Y'all sit down and you think about it. All right? Because we can move on with the rice famine.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We're just having a little fun. Okay? We got to – look, someone talk about salmon and asparagus. That sounds like something from, like, the most Edomitist restaurant.
Right off the bat. Salmon and asparagus is great,
and so is salmon. Right. But, like, together. Come on. See, and then that's what happens. Judah try to claim everybody's food, right?
Yeah.
Now, I know Esau took everything from all of us. And back in – listen, see, oh, this all for fun. Back at the end of the day, we the best in everything.
Boy,
all right?
Yeah.
All 12.
Bring it out.
Let's just say that, okay? But – this is my challenge, and nobody has been able to. Oh, Judah food is good. The two or three dishes that you got, dang, dang.
And the sides.
And the sides. I'm not saying it ain't good, but you cannot go toe-to-toe with you cannot go toe-to-toe with Levi.
Right.
You cannot go toe-to-toe with Benji. Certainly not Benji.
Benji got food.
See, and I'm saying that, too, so people don't think it's like, you know,
yeah, Benji got
a Northern Kingdom, Southern Kingdom thing. And I'm going to tell you, though.
Hold on. Let me get the owner.
You've been exposed to Mexican food. Northern King has such a wide... Have you had pupusas, bro?
It was on there.
Pupusas! Bro, put some respect on pupusa. I'm not even talking about eating from down the street.
Right?
Put some respect on pupusa.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, those things are good.
Put some respect on pupusa.
Yeah, right?
But real quick about the way to feed.
Cuban food is crazy.
Yeah. But listen, Judah food cannot go toe to toe with Levi, with Benji, or any of the Northern Kings. But we don't want to eat Judah food at a wedding feast. Now, Benji's not just curry dishes, man. See, some of y'all just your palate is not refined enough.
It's limited.
They going crazy. The college is flying, bro. People's gonna do. We gotta change the topic of the show, bro. We got to just talk about the food, bro. We got to be one of them fix your face, one of them fun fix your face. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for real.
You know? Listen, I'm just gonna say this. I'm gonna leave y'all with this. I'm gonna see y'all with this. It's not all the same stuff. It's similar ingredients. Okay, I'll say that. Man, you ain't gonna get me on semantics, brothers.
They try to play words.
You talking to Deacon Yahshua here?
Right. Don't testosterone.
Listen. I love Judah. This is not a. Don't take this personal. Just take it as facts. Right. Don't take it personal. I love the hell out of Judah, bro. I grew up with Judah. I tell people that all the time. You know what I'm saying? I love my Judah food. When I went to college, I had a soul food restaurant right down the way. Once a week, we ate there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And even when I was repenting, lawful, I went there and I picked lawful options. You know what I'm saying? Love it. I love it. The potato salad. I love it. But it's not the same stuff seasoned different, bro. And let me just get to my point. I'm going to give it to you. Now, I don't miss Simeon food because I'm married to Simeon, so I have Simeon food whenever I want, so it's all right.
That part.
Good. That was part of my selection process. She'll tell you.
Oh, man.
I gave her serious consideration for wife material when she hooked me up with some carne guisada, arroz con gandules, some totones. So you know what I'm saying?
Break it out.
Ooh-wee. And I had just finished playing some softball.
Oh, right.
I was hungry.
You were famished.
She hooked it up, bro. She hooked it up. But let me say this. I'm going to leave y'all with this. I'm going to leave you with this conundrum. No, I know it's not just soul food, but I'm just telling y'all. Listen, I've been through this. Don't take it personal. Just take that. We got to have an L. You know we have marbles? We got to have an L. And we got to pay
it. Yeah.
Just hold it up to the camera. Let's get an L card. Just be like, you know.
L cards and stop signs.
Yeah. I want y'all to open up your Judah restaurant. Let's play this scenario.
Here you go.
You open up your Judah restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I usually say 10 combos. I'm not going to do 10 because I know Judah ain't got it. Give me 7 combos that don't repeat.
Okay.
You can repeat sides. I'll let you repeat sides.
Okay.
Give me 7 combos that's authentically Judah when you open up your Judah restaurant tomorrow. Don't do it now. You can run it back next week, whatever it is.
Meditate on it.
Give me 7 combos. I normally do 10, but I'm going to say 7 because I'm trying to give you a handicap.
Somebody copy and paste this next
one. See, it's easier to put a camel through an avenue.
Give me 7 combos. Oh, I love sweet potato pie. I'll give that up to Judah.
Red velvet.
I'll give it up.
Listen,
7 combos.
Give me 7 combos.
For your Judah fine cuisine restaurant that you're opening up tomorrow. That's authentically Judah food. If you could give me that, I'll give you some respect.
For your Judah.
On your cuisine.
It's easier to put a camel through the eye of a needle than to get 7 meals.
You don't know that you didn't say, they hot.
Yeah, you didn't serve them up.
They hot.
Is it true?
It's all love. Y'all giving me dessert. You giving me sides.
That's what it always came down to. We were sitting there getting fries all day, but when it came to entrees, we had nothing.
Come on, man. Listen, I'm going to be partial because I grew up on it, and I'm going to say Ephraim, and I say Ephraim Simeon because with very few differences, the same type of food for the most part, Ephraim Simeon. And I've said this before, Simeon, I think, are better cooks than Ephraim cooks.
Mm-hmm.
See, I can say that. See, I'm not partial. I'm not saying this, Judah, because I'm being partial. Facts. Facts. Okay?
Oh, a lot of mad Judites in the comments.
They
boy.
Should. Man, you done served
don't
them up.
Be mad. Come on, man. Can we just
who done roused them up?
Don't be mad. Don't be mad, Judah. Yeah, come on, man. They beat neck bones. Who the hell want to eat neck bones?
Yeah.
Wait,
wait.
They
came out
with
the
neck bones.
Damn.
That's a cow neck bone.
Yeah.
How you eat that joint? They gonna say give them.
Now somebody gonna be like one bite at a time.
Go ahead and play a print zone on that card.
Hey, listen. Someone say where the knowledge and all this. Listen, the show is just a fun dialogue.
Wow, have mercy.
You might not see some of the other shows. You don't want to come up in here and be like, come on, let's relax.
Relax.
Come on. Even the Sabbath class.
Didn't I tell you somebody's coming? I said somebody's coming, didn't I?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm going to tell you that way. The knowledge is in that. The Judah is not
the Hey, that person was probably Judah, too.
Right. Listen, I threw out my challenge. Y'all put it together. All right? We're going to move on and update y'all on this.
The rice band.
Okay? On the rice band. All right?
Yeah,
I threw a bomb in there, bro.
Yeah.
Look, let me give my top.
Go ahead.
Ephraim Simeon.
Uh-huh.
Impartial, right? Benji Fu.
Blood of Mercy.
Number two. I'm talking about, like, the Israel tribe. Because I really love Italian food, but I'm giving, like, Israel tribe. And then Levi, probably, right behind that for me. That's my top three.
Right.
And you know what? With Ephraim Simeon, you could throw, like, everything except like Mexican food in, because for the most part Central South America is very similar. Some dishes better than others,
right,
and stuff like that. But basically, kind of, you know, my type of Northern Kingdom. Issachar food is a separate category for me. That'd probably be four. Like I would even put Benji and Levi
above
Issachar food for me. Mm-hmm. For me.
Okay.
For me.
Mm-hmm. I like the Levi.
And I love Issachar food. I love some good Issachar food, but you know,
hey, we like Levi. That's crazy.
Yeah, anyway. Oh man, I love y'all, Israel. I really do, from the bottom of my heart. All right, let's go back to the rice famine. I know this is fun. I'll be here forever
let's
talking
get back
about
to the,
this.
To the lesson.
Let's read this. I just want to bring this to y'all attention. If you're not aware of it, all right? Come on, let's go.
India's ban on rice exports drives up demand in North Texas.
Come on.
Right. Zoom in a little bit.
India's new ban on certain rice imports is being felt in North Texas. A reminder of the great toilet paper panic.
Right. What? So,
toilet paper panic.
I didn't read this whole article. I just picked some to talk about it.
Right.
I compared it to the toilet paper thing, which is why I told my wife, bro, get some rice.
Right.
That's going to be nice. I said, everybody's about to be out their minds buying up all the rice. Right. Get some rice. Go ahead, come on.
India's new ban on certain rice imports is being felt in North Texas, a reminder of the great toilet paper panic of the COVID-19 pandemic.
All right, come on.
Driving the news, last week, India banned exports of non-basmati white rice to allay the rise in prices in the domestic market.
Right, so I think something happened. One of the other ones, and just for the sake of time, we probably won't read it now, but one of the other ones was saying, like, something happened with the rains.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it flooded, if it was too much, and it destroyed the rice
crops.
Fields. Mm-hmm. So in order to keep prices down in India, which is either the first or second largest, population,
mm-hmm.
as far as people, they're avoiding exports, and supposedly that's supposed to help them bring the price down locally, because rice is such a staple dish. And Elam... They do a lot of vegetable based stuff.
Yeah,
you know, they'll do chicken, they'll do lamb. I don't think they have a beef dish to be found because cows are sacred.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And stuff like that, so they don't do beef. I don't know if there's any type of. I'm not too familiar with the Elam cuisine. Some of it, yes, some of the more popular stuff. I don't even know if they do fish.
I've gone to a couple of Elam restaurants. They'll serve like the fish, but it's over rice.
But I know their main thing is chicken.
Yes.
And they'll do lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of stuff that's just vegetable, fruit based, and things like that. But they don't really, you know, that's kind of their thing.
Right? Yeah.
So rice is the main thing for them. So they said, all right, we're going to lower that so that we don't roll with that. Right? Come on.
The country is the world's largest exporter of rice, and it has been, and its ban has triggered fear of a rise in global food prices, right, per The Guardian. Mm-hmm. State of play. Rice is a staple in many South Asian cultures, and local South Asian grocery stores sell several brands and types of rice to cater.
Somebody just said oxtail is pork.
Though India's ban doesn't include all types of rice, news of panicked shoppers buying dozens of bags of rice
at
South Asian grocery stores lit up WhatsApp groups and social media over the weekend. Zoom in. People flooded local stores, including Patel Brothers and India Bazaar, to stock up on rice. Concern that India's ban may result in higher prices or limit its availability later on. Some local grocery stores have imposed limits on rice purchases.
Yeah, I wanted to get in before that too. So
right, definitely.
Go ahead.
The fallout is affecting big box stores as well. The Costco Business Center in Dallas sold almost 6 pallets of Royal Basmati rice Saturday as shoppers packed their carts with 20-pound and 40-pound bags. It was just a run on rice, an employer told Axios. The store is expecting a shipment of rice on Friday.
Okay, skip that. Let's get the next one. Run on rice, right? And there was a video. They was going nuts in Texas. Let's read the bullets on this one. Go ahead. Scroll down. This one was good. All right? Go ahead.
Buyers in Africa, Asia, seen signing direct deals with exporters.
Mm. Right, so now they're expecting the global scale, right? This is just Israel for y'all to be aware. Okay, mm-hmm. Come on.
India's export ban reduces 20% of the world rice supply.
So there is, you're probably going to see rice. Jeez. Even if there's not like a shortage, you're going to see the prices go up.
Right.
It triggers a lot of things. There's a whole domino effect with it. Come on.
India has sold more than 1 million tons of broken rice since then.
Right.
Ample buffer supplies in India to serve government trade.
Okay, let's read a little bit.
Singapore, July 26th. Global rice importers are likely to seek direct deals with governments in exporting countries as India's ban on shipments of a key variety is squeezing supply and igniting concerns over food security.
Hey, you know, when I read this too, and again, I'm not going to, because I don't want to go too far off. We've got to hit marriage moments. We've got to go back to the video. This, again, for me, I wanted to say this because some people might not be aware of it. When you read in Revelation 18 about all the different trade that'll be missing,
uh-huh,
right. when for years it's been taught by us here at IUIC that the mark is dealing with not being the buyer and the seller, talking about the trade,
mm-hmm.
right, the embargoes and things like that. This is like such an example of it. I think a lot of people don't realize how much the global markets are. Land. Especially for Esau,
mm-hmm.
that's where real wealth is.
Right.
And they're only going to dedicate so much of that to food.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be able to sell it, develop it to things that bring more money in. You kind of
mm-hmm.
see it here in Arizona when a lot of the farmland is being bought up
mm-hmm.
and sold because it's not profitable to the farmers. They're better off just kind of selling it and letting somebody build a mall or houses
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is on there. The way the global, kind of the globalism, so to speak, kind of works, this is the results of it. So, you know, they're talking about Ukraine and grain, and that supposedly they supply 40% of the world's
grain.
I never knew that. Like,
yeah.
That's news to me.
Right.
But they call it the breadbasket of the world because they supply like 40% of the grain,
mm-hmm.
and that affects bread, flour, everything else
right.
that would be with grain. So you see something similar here with rice and the exports like that. I think, you know, I think maybe one of the only things America really does a lot of is probably like beef, chicken, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe salmon, Alaska salmon.
Mm-hmm.
You got Atlantic fish, which is usually farmed
with the grits.
Right. With the don't take us back there, bro. People lit up, bro. I'm gonna review comments one of these days coming up. I'm mad Judites.
For real.
Go ahead, read on.
Buyers from Africa to Asia are likely to scramble for rice shipments as supplies tighten in coming months following India's decision last week to ban non-basmati white rice
right.
exports.
So basmati rice, which is amazing. It's, really yeah. have it. Basmati rice is so good. Jasmine rice is good too. There's different types of rice. Basmati, I guess,
good as hell.
I don't know if they just have a bunch of it or whatever it is, but that you can still get. All
okay.
right. So, you know, if you're into basmati, don't worry. It'll be good, right? Okay, let's read this last paragraph.
The ban will cut availability of the staple on world markets by about a fifth.
That's pretty significant.
Traders and analysts said, and could lead to importers seeking more government-to-government deals to overcome shortages and tame spiraling prices.
Right, right. So, you know, I just want y'all to be aware. Go on there. So Benjamin, my wife texted me already talking about let's get some rice. Let's get some rice.
Dude, you know what's heavy is last year they were India was offering to support the world hunger crisis, and they were willing. Like, I sent an article to them, but it's like they in 2022 India was offering to provide like grains and stuff to the world.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So
fans switch quick.
Pretty significant stuff that we should all be aware of, all right? So, all right, we can get the right stuff out the way. And close those links out. Hey, can you put up some of the pictures that I posted? I think I put, like, two pics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's go to marriage mode. No, maybe I'll take that for it. Come on, and then give me my cue and all of that. Marriage mode.
Are we ready for it?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, let's do it. No.
I'm afraid.
Oh, that's a signal?
That's the
We gotta come up with something better than that.
Wait,
what's that?
Right now.
Oh my gosh. Hey, so the other day, we want to leave you with a real impactful thought as we start off our marriage moments.
They was asking for wisdom, Dee.
Right, they was asking for. He was asking for wisdom. I'm gonna give you some wisdom.
Sometimes you meet someone and you know from the first moment that you want to spend your whole life without them.
Cloud have mercy.
Oh, man. Yo, I started reading this. I said, damn, it sounds like one of these, you know, from the moment you saw them, you want to spend your...
Right.
It sounds like a coffee mug. See, if we had more of that,
I'm talking about, like,
you have less jacked up marriages. Come on, man. Some of y'all just need to accept it for what it is.
You have less jacked up marriages.
First moment. You know, you want to spend your whole life without them. Damn. Let me get the next one. Hey, listen. For the feminist movement,
bring it out.
Right.
Can you put up some of the pictures?
Don't do it.
Just to show you how silly it sounds. Hey, you feminists. Not the sisters in here.
No.
Of course not. Not the sisters in here. You feminist women. Read this.
Men do everything for themselves. You'll never hear a man going around calling himself an independent man.
Imagine we start running around talking about I'm an independent man.
Right.
You know what? Who are you? I'm an independent black man, brother.
Right.
Brother, that is. How crazy you sound.
Right.
With that independent woman stuff. Oh, gosh. Right. For real. Record stop. Come on, man. But man got to do everything for them damn selves.
For real.
And we, you know, if we living in a world where we got to talk about let's get our recognition.
Yeah.
If we don't do it, who gonna do it?
All right.
Damn. I tell you, boy. Let them women be on another. It ain't gonna be like Wonder Woman and the Amazon tribe.
No.
Let them all be on. They ain't gonna want to do none of the jobs we do. They ain't gonna want to deal with none of the stuff we do. Wasn't it Bear Grylls had them on that island? You could put that one. Like, I'm a strong, independent man.
All
in the face.
Look at
it. Come on, man. Get out of here. Get that off the screen. Hey, let me tell you something. Let's pull this up. Marriage moments won't be too long. Let's get, yeah. So
So hold on.
This video right here. Oof. This make you like
exactly.
reevaluate your life.
That part. For real.
Oh my gosh. Patience when you.
All right. So we're gonna play this video. We're gonna play this video. All right. Sisters, take heed. Take note.
Rewind it a couple times.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
And the caption says, this is every man's dream when you see it. Mm-hmm. But,
just be ready.
Try a little tenderness.
I guess he was having a moment of silence real quick.
It goes a long way. Listen, the stuff like this will go a long way, man. You have your man feeling like Superman for real.
He's a god.
You'll have him feeling like Malak.
Right. That Malak hood, he in his Malak hood.
He'd be in his Malak hood.
Man, I'm a strong man.
I'm a strong man. Oh, come on. Go ahead. Close your eyes.
Close your eyes. I want you to see yourself going out there and killing it. You are prepared. You're wearing the hell out of that suit, and you were born to do this. Whatever they throw at you, I want you to return it like Serena. You are fierce, dignified, and in top form. Can you see it?
Man, talk about encouraging.
Oh, am I?
About win him over with the conversation. There's levels to that. There's levels to the win the man over by the conversation. Hey, no, I was joking. It's a trial of tenderness. Sister, when your man is vexing your spirit, because we don't vex each other.
Right.
When you feel a certain way, just remember, you said yes to that man. You wanted to be with that man.
Mm.
And try highlighting things that you thought about.
Right,
that you saw in that person.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remind them more of that and less of the nagging and everything else, all right,
mm-hmm.
maybe more of what you saw that made you want to be with that man will be more present.
Because
we brought out on this show before that a man's going to give you the version of him that he needs to survive.
Right.
And when he's done with you, he's done with you. Mm. Damn, someone said something like he wants something from him. You know what?
She'll get it.
But that's
the cool part. What
does scripture say?
We'll kill a lion and a dragon
for
the woman.
Right.
Damn.
Hey, the scripture
said
we will go out and
steal. I witnessed that, but she gave up after I lost my damn. It was contingent on the job. Damn.
Yes.
That is horrible. Read this. Put in your mind, sometimes they think, okay, win him over by his conversation and let me give him some scriptures on the things that I see wrong in him and I'll just say it nicely.
Right.
And I'm not saying we are not all supposed to hold each other accountable to stuff. But that's not what he needs from you.
Right.
He needs more stuff like this. Tell you, a man wants to be respected above all. That's how we perceive love. When we are respected.
That's right.
And when we feel challenged, we're going to respond in kind, all right? Mm-hmm. We're going to respond in kind. And I'm not talking crazy. Somebody might hear me say, oh, what you say? You're going to beat the woman down? No. You shouldn't be a brawler. You shouldn't be laying hands on her. None of that stuff, all right? I'm just saying you're going to get a version of that person, right? Like you're not going to you're not gonna beat the girl into submission.
Mm-hmm.
Nah. You're not. At least not an Israelite man.
Nah.
When I say Israelite man, I'm not talking about non-repentant Jake. I'm talking about a man that's starting to build his life together, put himself together piece by piece with this word. You know, mm-hmm. Read this in Peter. Come on.
The book of 1 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 2.
Yeah.
Now they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear.
Right? So while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Read it from the top. Read it from the top.
You want verse 1?
Yeah.
Book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 1.
Yeah.
Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband.
Uh-huh.
That if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives.
Right. Mm-hmm. That don't mean that you there, you start giving him scriptures and talking about, listen, it's not going to go over well that you corrected him on this, that, and the third, right? Now, listen, there's I hate that I got to say this, but I feel like I got to because there's always somebody in the comments.
But what about if a husband doing this?
Right.
What if he's smoking crack?
Right.
Doing meth.
Right. Then tell on him.
Yes. Leviticus 5 and 1.
Then step on him. All right? Get the brothers involved to try to help him come out of that madness.
Right.
He there hitting the pipe.
Yeah, and she's just
watching me like, you want fierce?
Hey,
you are cracked up.
Some sisters view that as a cop out.
Crack pipe, throw it back like the Raiders. You are smoked out. Come on. Yeah, right.
They throw a crack pipe at you, throw a bat like Serena.
They don't need that, man. They don't need that, okay? They don't need that. They need more stuff like that, man.
Mm-hmm. You saw a little subtle touch, like, right up under the earlobes and stuff?
A man wants to be reverenced. A man wants to feel that respect. You see, some sisters will take heed. Others going to hear this. And they're going to yes, and then not apply when the moment.
No, they're going to look over and be like, this nigga here?
This nigga here.
Can I get a script real quick?
Go ahead, bring it out.
Get Proverbs 18 and 21.
Oh. Bring it out.
There's power behind your words.
Uh-huh. The book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21.
Bring it out.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
So the tongue holds power. And it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. So you have two things that you can speak into the existence, into your husband, read.
And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
You love the fruit that brings forth death, you're going to eat of it. You love the fruit that brings forth life, you speak in life into your husband, you're going to eat the fruit of what comes from what you spoke into that man. Because I guarantee you, a man like that is going to go into the world and do what he got to do with a whole different mindset throughout the day. And everything he accomplishes is going to come right back to you.
Right. Hey, get me Sirach 26 and 26. Let's read that real quick. Come on.
The book of Sirach, chapter 26 and verse 26.
Yeah.
A woman that honoreth her husband shall be judged wise of all.
Right. So it says a woman that honoreth her husband. How do you honor your husband? That you apply what the scriptures say. Or how you deal with your husband and all things, right? Part of that is this, right? Come on.
But she that dishonoreth him in her pride shall be counted ungodly of all.
Right. That's the part. This kind of goes with what we were bringing out last week on our marriage moment segment, right? And we were talking about that what you're really rebelling against is Jesus.
Right.
You're really rebelling against Christ and the Most High, right? So it says when you honor your husband, how do you honor him? You honor him by applying what the scriptures say, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you dishonor him, read that part.
But she that dishonoreth him in her pride.
Because that's what it is. It's misplaced pride. Mm. It's pride where you got the independent woman thing.
Right.
You might not say those words, but you have that in you.
Right.
Because the way the world has set things up.
Right.
You have not recognized, acknowledged that divine order. And it shows in your day-to-day. It shows. Hey, sometimes me and my wife be getting in the heat of stuff, and I'll say, she'll say that's not what it is, but I can recognize the spirit.
Right.
And I'll be like, look, man, you may be a supervisor at your job, but you're not the supervisor here.
That part.
You might be the boss at your job, but you're not the boss.
You're not the boss.
Right.
I said, don't be talking to me like you bossing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to reevaluate what the hell you're saying and how you're saying it right now.
Right.
I'm going to have to get pissed off.
Hey, can I get one real quick?
Is that it on that verse?
That was it.
Before you get to that, let me get to about 22 and 5 because it goes with this. And then you can bring out what you want to bring out.
I'll pray.
It's a rock, chapter 22 and verse 5.
Hey, every sister's out there that are going to say, well, why
are you saying 22 and what?
Woman? Why are you talking about the man? Because there's a hell of a lot more scriptures about the woman when it comes to marriage.
Bring that out.
What?
We all die.
Give me that. Is it in Ezekiel about prophesying against the daughters of that people? We're going to get that after. Come on.
The book of Sirach, chapter 22 and verse 5.
Yeah.
He that is bold dishonoreth both her father and her husband.
Right, because it's saying, listen, a lot of times, if you got somebody that's like, it's not always, they probably didn't have a man that was a structured figure in the household, right? They didn't have, because let me tell you, this is why it's so important about the family unit. To have the proper order in your household will have shown. This is why when Titus says teach them to love their husbands, that's not talking about, you know, how to love them down, slap it up, flip it, rub it down. And it's not talking about none of that stuff,
right?
It's talking about all these things about honoring him, like the scripture says.
Right.
Just like love is defined to us by the Most High in Christ as keeping his commandments,
right?
then you show love to your husband. The God is here. Mm-hmm. It's not so complicated. Mm. Just follow that. You're going to be all right.
Right.
Right? But it says, see that the honor of her father and her husband. That also goes when it says, if your father would have just spit in your face. Right?
Yep.
Meaning you had a proper father figure. Mm-hmm. Right? Come on.
She that is bold dishonoreth both her father and her husband.
And notice what it says that is bold. It's giving you an entrance. So when you move against speech like this, and I'm not saying, listen, this might not be every day. That,
right.
I might be like, all right, this is like the 10th day in a row you're telling me this. It might lose its effect.
Right, right. The savor is kind of not savoring.
But stop that boldness, that strong woman,
that strong woman,
strong black woman, that strong black woman stuff. All right? And be the delicate flower
right.
that you're supposed to be.
Right.
Desirable.
Right.
Yeah.
But you roll with the spirit of a man, instinctively you're going to get manly reactions from me.
Correct.
That's it. Brothers ain't running around rubbing each other. Well, in Oklahoma, maybe.
Picture Jesus.
Brothers ain't rubbing around, touching, rubbing each other's back, being like that. You know?
Right.
So it says, stop with that boldness, right? Come on.
But they both shall despise her.
What you wind up doing is you're being a spirit of hatred starts to build.
Mm-hmm.
They'll start to despise. And that's not right either. A man should have the discipline in his spirit not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then what you'll get instead is the version of the man that he's going to be able to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And he won't go against the Most High. So he's going to keep the peace in the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And what he's going to wind up doing is giving you a version of him that will keep that peace and allow him to continue to serve the Most High the way he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to give passage to bulls,
right?
You
right,
know,
right.
But he's going to give you a version that you're not going to like.
Right.
That you're not going to like. Right.
Before we get off,
yeah,
can we?
I'm sorry. Let me get this, and then I'll give you yours. All right. So again, for the whole, you're gonna have the people out there. This is always one, or later there's gonna be a comment.
Let's just talk about the man.
Mm-hmm. Because there's so many scriptures about the woman's behavior. Because for the man is straightforward.
Anybody that would ask that, that's just from lack of accountability.
Right. That's really what it is. Y'all who buck against it, show that. Because like I always say, the whole Bible's directed to men.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So anytime we're going over any type of scriptures, men are constantly being corrected.
Right.
Don't got to do a whole marriage class on just men.
Right.
Because women are the ones that are the problem in that. Also, you wouldn't have all these scriptures that discuss that thing. Read this real quick. Come on.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 4:13 and verse 17.
Come on.
Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people.
Right? Set thy face against the daughters of thy people. Come on.
Which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them.
Right, because that's the responses that you get prophesying of their own heart, justification of the way they move.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so someone said, what is being bold? Bold is you're supposed to reverence your husband.
Mm-hmm.
You don't speak. Your husband represents Christ in that marriage.
Right.
You would not buck up, speak sideways to Christ. You would not suck your teeth, turn your lips, give a dirty look.
Mm-hmm.
None of that stuff. And I understand that behavior might not happen overnight. But if you genuinely love that man that you're with, then you need to find a place where you would do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Men want to love you.
Right.
So what would they say? We'll go out of our wits for women.
That's right. Lions.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
And we can do that in righteousness. We'll
right.
fight lions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We'll work and bust our behinds and bring everything home to you.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to get what we need to get
right.
out of that relationship.
We will bring home the turkey bacon.
We will bring home the turkey bacon.
And Deacon, a good way to kind of give them an idea of bold is the opposite. When Esther went to petition the king, she prepared three different occasions before she went up there. And then she acknowledged his authority in the decision before it all even happened.
Yep. You sure right on that. Okay, bring out what you want to bring out.
Yeah.
Offer some a lot.
All praise. Let me get Sirach 25 and 22. All praise to the Most High.
The book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 25, verse 22.
Yeah.
A woman. If she maintain her husband,
uh-huh.
it's full of anger,
mm-hmm.
impudence, and much
reproach. What's that, 25 and 22?
23. Mm-hmm. A wicked woman abateth the courage,
go ahead.
Maketh an heavy countenance, and a wounded heart.
So, right. So, now, verse 22 was talking about if a brother, he don't have a job. Didn't that supposed to say she left because the
The brother didn't have no job.
Yeah, he said she was good like that, so she lost the job. So he lost the job.
And you know that type of stuff happens. But if a brother's out there actively seeking employment, but then you got the sister all on his back, you know, talking about he ain't the man and just giving him a
the
whole
opposite of that video.
The opposite of the video.
Right.
Then it says it abated the courage. Read.
And maketh an heavy countenance and a wounded heart.
Now that brother, he's staying out all types of night. He out with the brother. He might not even be in the midst of sin or nothing, but guess what? He ain't coming home until like 1 a.m. He got to be at work from, he go to work from 9 to 5. That brother at the job is 6 a.m. in the morning.
Right.
And you don't see him until 11 to 12 o'clock at night.
What about the, she talked that life into him going out and conquering to the interview. He don't even go to the interview.
Exactly. That part. Yeah, Reed.
Hey. A woman that will not comfort her husband.
A woman that will not comfort her husband.
In distress,
mm-hmm.
maketh weak hands and feeble knees.
Because guess what? So now when somebody's breaking into the place, you look, who you looking for to protect you, sister? You looking for that man to protect you. That brother.
Hey, I'm a, we might get cut because it's a popular movie. I think it's in The Dark Knight. It's the scene at the end where Harvey Dent confront has Commissioner Gordon and his family.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna say this is what you're gonna
in
get.
In the building?
This is what you're gonna get. They're in the abandoned building.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring you back. I'm just gonna talk about it. Paint the picture. Because if we pull it up, we might get cut off. And he says, you know, you took the most important thing from me. Harvey Dent tells him. He goes, now I'm gonna take the most important thing from you.
Mm-hmm.
And he has his two sons and his wife there. And he takes the gun and he points it at the wife. He said, Harvey, you don't got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He says, all right, not her. Goes to the other son. Harvey, you know, tell me what you want. Then he goes to the other one, and he goes, please don't.
Yeah.
Said, oh, I know who's most important to you. It wasn't the wife.
It was not the wife.
It was not the wife.
That's wild.
Not the wife.
It was one of his sons.
Right.
Yeah.
It was not the wife. That goes into what we read in July 22:5. It says, listen, man, you're going to be bold and dishonor your husband. It says he gonna wind up despising you.
And Dick, one more point.
Go ahead.
You said that because the sisters are like, why are you getting on the sisters? And you were talking about how there's more scriptures in here about sisters, right?
Yes.
But when it comes to marriage.
When it comes to marriage.
But guess what? Those scriptures are still for the man because he has to read them and know how to identify what's acceptable to God and what's not.
Right.
Hey.
Right. And you said that with some conviction.
Right.
Said that like you had some trauma from past marriage.
Serious.
And I'm over here. PTSD. Hey, what's this one about? It looks familiar. I saw, okay, you want to show it? It's relevant to what we're going through? Let's bring it up.
Yes, sir. This is the other one you wanted.
Oh, I did want this one too. Okay, bring it up.
Go
ahead. What is your definition of a successful relationship? My definition of a success.
Oh, stop. Oh, man. It's too heavy.
Yeah, this one's good.
We have to part three this when we get to the tape part because we're not going to get to the whole
thing.
Oh, my God. We had our food discussion. That's time.
Hey, and Officer Nehemiah think he's slick on Facebook, too. I see you.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, this is too heavy. We might even run this back next week because I'll take the rest of the show if we go into it. But we're going to show it since you started it.
Run it back.
Run this back.
Go ahead.
What is your definition of a successful relationship? My definition of a successful relationship is a relationship where you have a healed man and a healed woman that is spiritually connected, that is not operating from the wounds of their past, but that is in fulfilled alignment with who they are today, that the man has decided the type of...
So go back a little bit. We got to do that part.
That part.
Say what it is. Go back. When he starts talking. I'm sorry. Just do it from the beginning.
Go ahead.
What is your definition of a successful relationship?
Just be ready.
My definition.
The question is, what is this guy's definition? And I forgot what his exact qualifications are, but he speaks a lot on social media. I don't know if he's like just a personality or just an influencer, or he actually has some background in some sort of counseling or something like that. And it's amazing that people, you know, now what he's saying probably, I can almost say with certainty, lacks the foundation of the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't make it
any less useful or void, because when you take what he's saying and you do it from the mindset of that God-like mentality,
right,
that mind of Christ mentality, that hidden man of the heart, you'll start to basically pull what the scripture states to apply to your marriage. And I'm not just talking for married people. Those of you who is proven or going to pick somebody or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we went over this when I went through that whole phase. We started with that Sabbath class, and then we carried it over to ratio for weeks on end, where we went over proving and different things like that. Where we spoke about you really got to build yourself up first before you get to someone else. Because what he's going to say, what pops into my head really quickly, is we always talk, and I'm not saying that we're not a pair, that we don't complete each other, but a lot of times we have so much broken in us, and you're looking for somebody else to fix that broken.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go into these relationships and these marriages broken to begin with, you're going to be sorely disappointed when you don't find that, because some things you got to build yourself up first.
And they don't measure up to what you expect.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you go into these things and you say, okay, they have this, that, and the other. And then you find out all the things that they're lacking. And you'll go into it and saying, I can change that. Or if not change it, you'll say, I can influence that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, you know, I don't like that, you know, he likes to eat out all the time. I kind of noticed that. I'm more of a healthy person. I'm going to change that. I'm going to get him to go to the gym. I'm going to get him to eat right and this and that, right? Oh, you see red flags. I'm fiscally responsible. I'm going to fix that. And I'm not saying that those things are necessarily something that you should write someone off for, but those are things you should discuss before you jump into the marriage,
right?
And try to get some things sorted out. But at the end of the day, those are things that only the individual can change and build. So he's going to use the word heal.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to say both the man and woman are healed and bring up. Get me that Genesis where it says a man, therefore, for this cause, Genesis 2. Yep. All right, get that really quick.
The book of Genesis.
Oh, snap. Sis, I thought that was Mark Anthony. You know, sis, so did I. At first glance, he looked straight like, well, he looked like Mark Anthony, like that ate a lot. Because Mark Anthony, hella skinny now. I mean, he always been skinny, but read this real quick.
The book of Genesis, chapter 2, and verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother.
Right. That's showing that you've healed. You've built yourself up. It's a sign of maturity. That you're not, you don't need to be under, it don't necessarily just mean, yes, on the surface.
Is there anything to drink in
mama's house, daddy's house, right?
Check.
But it shows that that means there's that growth. You're healed.
Right.
You're a complete person.
You.
That you can now go and be this complete person and find another complete person to bring it in. It's not to say that you don't have issues, but the issues aren't dependent on each other to fix them and heal yourself. This is what I mean when I say that whole thing of complete me, you have that wrong. Yes, there's a union where you complement each other, the otherness of the feminine and the attractiveness of the masculine, right?
Huh?
That brings the pair together, right?
Okay.
That's the rib that comes back.
Any water bottles in the back?
And you become one flesh. So there is a completeness that happens.
Huh?
But if you've gone into that thing with all the hang-ups and all these other things, and you didn't work on building yourself up in your repentance in these scriptures, you're not going to find that somewhere, right? So read this again.
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife.
Right. So meaning that I just wanted that part, that when you leave your father and your mother, it means it's showing that sign of maturity, fulfillment, that you're a healed and complete person, right? So go ahead. He's going to give you the definition.
Go ahead.
A successful relationship is relationship where you have a healed man and a healed woman that is spiritually connected, that is not operating.
Wow. He said you're spiritually connected.
Mm-hmm.
Not connected at your loins, that part.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Although in marriage that is honorable and it is spiritual,
mm-hmm.
but not connected at your loins because you felt the magnetic pull of getting your willy wet. That part. Right. Getting your box packed up. That part right there. Okay. That's not what he's talking about. He says you're spiritually connected, and not the spirituality that you think that the world said. Oh, I feel this or I feel that. I just know him. He's my soulmate. Let me tell you something. If you're rooted in the scriptures, if you're built up, rooted, and healed, you're going to sense the spirituality of the person that you should be with.
That's right.
And it's funny because it's so difficult that sometimes you won't know until you're with the wrong person. Then you just got to make it work.
Yeah, that part.
Then you just got to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and you can make it work.
Right.
The way the scriptures are set up, you can make it work. But it might not be the fullest potential of what it could have been.
The scriptures say, what God joined together, let thy man tear asunder. That means that you went through the proper steps in the scriptures to just prove each other.
Right. You're just talking about my soulmate.
Right.
But you forgot all the steps that led up to it.
Right.
That's a heavy point you brought out. Damn, you was real malak like that. I mean,
I'll praise to the Most High.
You was in your malak hood in that.
I'll praise.
Yeah, that means that you applied everything. You went through all the different proving steps and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? And you went there. Like, you did what you needed to do. Right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, go ahead. Come on.
Go ahead.
The wounds of their past, but that is in fulfilled alignment with who they are today, that the man has decided the type of woman he wants, the qualities that he wants, and he has not deviated from those qualities.
The non-negotiable. You do it from a sense of loss. What was the term that was used?
Fear of loss.
You do it from a fear of loss.
Yes.
This goes for men and women. And it might not be fear of loss that you might not find another guy or another girl like this. It's the fear of loss of maybe I'm getting older.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I have family goals and mm-hmm. this and that. Maybe I should just shock up with somebody.
My eggs are drowned up.
Right.
Hey, that shows a lack of trust in the Most High.
There you go. That's
because
exactly what it shows, a lack of trust in the Most High.
They don't respect their non-negotiables enough to have that faith in the Most High.
Let me tell you, I know a handful of brothers and sisters that have yet to this day decided that they want to be married, and it's because they want to wait for stuff like this. They got these qualities. They got this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know a captain who hasn't married.
Mm-hmm.
For years, he's like, I'm not trying to trim anything. I know what I want, and I haven't found it yet. And I'm like, damn, okay. All right. You gotta respect that.
Yeah, for real.
You gotta respect that. So I said, there's a handful of brothers and sisters who are adamant about that. You know, we used to get on him for a little while, but leave him alone. Leave him alone. They played their cards the right way.
Right.
And when that time comes, if it's ordained of the Lord, they're gonna find somebody rather than push it. Mm-hmm. Just let them be. Just let them be. Right. But he said he's not. He hasn't deviated from those qualities. He hasn't said, oh, she got this but not that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I want company. I feel like mm-hmm. I got this. I feel like, you know,
we're getting along right now.
And none of that.
We got a lot of stuff in common.
None of that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, there's a man that said. Right? He said, that's a successful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's his definition.
Right.
And I'll say this. It's not to say that you can't make it otherwise. You can. It takes so much more work and effort. When if you do it the right way, if you do it according to things that he's saying, stuff that we brought out, stuff that leadership brings out, stuff that the Bible brings out, your success scenario is going to be so much better. Mm-hmm. So much less friction. Less. I didn't say perfect.
Yeah.
Less.
Perfect.
Perfect. Less. Go ahead, come on.
He will not settle for less, and the woman has defined and decided the types of qualities that she wants in a man, and she will not deviate from those qualities, and she's willing to wait until she finds him, and their souls draw each other in, and they become one.
Read this again. Genesis. Were you bringing something for you that you wanted to bring in?
No, I was looking at
it. I can do it.
Okay.
The book of Genesis, chapter 2, and verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
What for this cause, right? Doesn't it say for this cause? No? Or just says therefore? Okay, it says therefore. That's how you get that oneness. That's how you get that cleave to one flesh, all right? He says their souls will then attract to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm saying you'll really know. You'll really know when it's that person if you follow all the steps prescribed in the scripture.
Mm. And that's that what God has joined together. That
that's what it goes into.
You want to Matthew 19. Okay, what's it say? Come on. The book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 5. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh.
There he goes, living that one twain. So when he says that their souls get drawn to each other, right? That's because you went through that right path. And again, I'm not saying you can't have a good marriage if you didn't go through that, right? It's just going to be a little more of an uphill battle, right? Because we know that once you make that commitment, that's it. You own it. There's no let me throw it away and try again, which is great because it puts you in this cycle of just kind of, all right, it's dirty, let me clean it. Now it's dirty, and you never get to where you need to be. But if you go into it with the right way, you'll be all right. You know, it's not to say that there's not a remedy if you didn't go through that. Is my point.
It's kind of like, would you rather have a clean plot of land where you could put your own foundation on, or would you rather go and buy a fixer-upper where the bones are even jacked up, the copper is jacked up, the wood is messed up, and you got to go and replace all of that.
Right. Yep.
Come on.
Union of oneness, they start to heal parts of themselves the same way you would in a plant medicine ceremony together. And in that togetherness, they feel safe, they feel whole, they feel complete, they feel heard, they feel like they can communicate and say anything.
Wow. I'm going to tell you, that's a key thing that you know that you don't have that you didn't go the right way.
That safe space. That's
where you don't feel heard. Complete, mm-hmm. you don't feel heard, mm-hmm. you don't feel like you could say anything, where the communication is not free.
Yeah.
Then you didn't take those steps. I know there's a lot of us that are married, and they'll be like, damn. So you say, no, I'm not saying you throw it all away. I'm just saying it's going to take more application of the scriptures to heal and bring that thing to where it be. Because you have to kind of like start over, especially if you come in married, you have to start over from the beginning, but still have all that residue. Yeah. And it's, like I said, it takes a lot of time you have to be willing to want to.
And I'm
going to
tell you,
up.
Most of the time, especially if you come in married, the change that the women see in the marriage is tough for them to take. The man comes, the man healing himself and coming into himself and being that authority and that figure in the marriage is hard for them to grasp that.
They don't grow with you in that.
Right.
That's right. But if you got somebody that's going to grow with you in those changes, move in that spirit and stuff like that, then you're going to be all right.
Hey, and they still got to understand, too, that's of the Most High that's happening.
Because exactly.
They may be thinking, oh, I didn't get to officially prove. No, it's still of the Most High that you still came into this thing married.
Yeah. You just got to go that way. Come on. Let's go.
Feel most importantly the ability to be who they really are. That's my definition of a successful relationship.
A lot of people, there's a stranger in my house. Mm-hmm. That's every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a stranger in my house. Took a while to figure out. Damn. There's no way he could be who he says to you. Or what? I forgot the rest of the line. That thing is heavy. There's a stranger in my house. Sometimes that'll happen. You know, the representative, you married the representative rather than the person.
Right.
That part right there.
Got it.
Yeah. But he says that they can be their authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
They can be their authentic self.
And for those that don't know, there's a class on the or a radio show on the representative. Mm-hmm. Quick plug.
Even a class. I think Captain
Hoshaya did one. 10 ways you know your spouse isn't in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Or your wife isn't in the truth.
Oh, was it Tamia? Hey, okay. All right. Those Deborah Cox. Hey. Oh, I thought it was her. Okay. I got you. Actually, the original one is Ronnie Millsap.
Okay. The original one is some Edomite named Ronnie. Ronnie Millsap. So I guess it's a remake.
Right.
It's a remake.
Video, right?
So they came up with different words on it or something like that.
Huh. My wife sent it to me. It's a stranger.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I apologize. Beautiful's still not the best.
Hey.
Hey, y'all.
Oh,
man.
Let's go.
Hey, I was about to say, now you just started something with Judah again. They're going to be correcting you on that.
Hey, damn.
Hey, let's move on. Let's get back. So that was marriage moments. That was marriage moments for this week. Unless y'all got anything else y'all want to bring out.
Correct.
That was marriage moments. All right. Let's move on.
We're going back to this video, right, with Andrew Tate. Let's play from the beginning, but I won't stop until we get to this point because I know we spoke about all that. Okay? Go ahead. Come on.
What do I got to do? I'm a coachable guy. Super coachable. I have 21 on my coach. Very coachable. Tell me what I have to do. I'm a coachable guy. What do I got to do? I'm a coachable guy. Super coachable. I want to make money. I'm sick of time being broke. My debt at the 99 cents. Too many heart attacks. I want to get out of this. Yeah. So I'm like, hey, Patrick, basic stuff. When you're doing business, when you're talking to rich people, I'm Morgan Stanley being weird. Never talk religion. Never talk politics. Never talk sex. Just don't talk about those three things. I said, okay, guess what? Never talk politics. Never talk religion. Never talk sex. No problem. We're going to business. So what do you think about the political climate today, Pastor Ben David? Oh, what do you think? You know, well, I think this is, but what do you think, Patrick? I don't know. You know, quite frankly, I think I'm trying to figure it out for myself right now. But we'll see what's going to happen. Like, you know, the whatever way you're deflecting and you kind of go in your book. Hey, what do you think about God? What is your opinion on Islam or Muslim? Well, you know, for me, you know, you deflect that. Eventually, you're sitting there, you're like, the people that I know at that level want to talk about those three topics.
Yep.
Now, sex is maybe off camera, and they're kind of having fun with
it,
but they want to talk about politics and religion.
Yep.
So we, for the longest time, have been silent, and now the ESG community, all this time they've told us to stay quiet, and they're saying what? They're talking politics, they're talking religion, and they're talking sex. Sex, the way through LGBTQ, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with it? It's normal. No, it's not normal. Well, listen, you guys shouldn't talk about politics and sex and religion. Shouldn't be doing that. And then you see this one, you know, during COVID, one pastor, Australia, Syrian man. I don't know what his name is, Benny. What's his name? The Syrian pastor, priest from Australia. And he was fighting all the anti-COVID guidelines, and his stuff is going viral. He's doing this. And you see these messages. Some of the people that stood up, they stood up because they feared God.
Yeah.
Okay? And for you, with your life.
So stop. I'm sorry. He says some of the people that stood up, they stood up. Now, misapplied, right? Because they weren't sure about, you know, they're not Israelites, a lot of them. A lot of them don't, you know, they're not really going to get the understanding of the scripture. But it's crazy how they even wind up having fear of God versus our own people. You got something you want to bring? I see you flipping pages.
Yeah, what is that, Psalms? Who will rise for me?
Right, yeah. Right. You can bring that up, yep. And then that goes into that clean fear of God, right? You know,
this is the book of Psalms, chapter 94, verse 16.
Read it out.
Who will rise up for me against the evildoers?
And it's a rhetorical question that was asked, but it says, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Read.
Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?
You have people that are misguided, without understanding in the world, trying to stand up for what they know they don't want to change. How much more us that have understanding of God's law?
Right. Absolutely. We got to bring out. Let's get that again real quick. It sounds 19 and 9 about that clean fear, right?
The book of Psalms, chapter 19 and verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
Right, and that should inspire you to stand up against the evildoers, because you know that God's judgments are true and righteous altogether, right? Yes, that means the different killings, the different stuff. Because, man, I remember people used to come up to me and be like, oh, so you believe in a God that said go kill everybody? And yeah, I do.
Yes. Right.
Because when God says it, it's not evil. When you do it of your own thing,
mm-hmm.
Right, of your own lust, mm-hmm. then that's wicked as hell.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But when God says it, that's just. Get 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. Sometimes we talk about that fear of God, and it should do two things. It should inspire you to repent,
right,
and you walk in your own path circumspectly, and it should inspire you to stand up, like we just read, and make a stand for something,
right?
And you'll see how quick, once you make that stand, who really believes in God and who doesn't.
Mm. That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And again, last week we were talking about the Sodom agenda, and he was saying how it's in everybody's face. We're going to touch on that in a minute, right? Okay, read this.
The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved.
Right, and we understand those promises, right? If you really want to get a summary of those promises, read Deuteronomy 28, 1-14,
right?
Mm-hmm. You'll get the summary and the understanding of all those promises, right? You can read that in Revelation 13, all right? You read that all throughout the scriptures, Isaiah 14, you read that in Amos 9, all right? You want those promises, all right? I think Deuteronomy 11, where it talks about every place thy foot,
yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
You want those promises, it should inspire you to stand up,
right? For the Most High, against the evildoers. Come on. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Come on. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Right. And remember, the scripture says the weapons of our warfare. If you fear God, you understand that it's a warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I think that's the biggest difference between what we do as Israelites and all these other people who profess Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture says our warfare. Let's get that in Ephesians real quick. The scripture says our warfare. Like, where did it all, what, it describes this walk as war. You know, and last week we were talking about, you know, the whole God and Satan thing. And when Tate starts talking again, we'll stop and we'll dive a little into that a little bit. That it's not an equal power. It's not an equal authority. Okay? You got that?
The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10 and verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
Right. It says we walk in the flesh. But then it says we don't war after the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And you have some knucklehead and say, no, that war is talking about between you, right? That's like Galatians 5:17, the flesh and the spirit are contrary to each other. Right?
Right.
No, come on.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds.
Now, what I wanted was Ephesians to go with this one.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, come on.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 12.
Yeah.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of darkness of this world.
We war, when he says wrestle, now understanding what we read in 2 Corinthians, right? We can now take this and say, when he wrestled, then he says, who is it against? There's so much evil in the world. He called it the ESG community. You know, it's the powers that be,
right?
Who's going to stand up against who are those evildoers?
Mm-hmm.
Your random guy? Because Christianity, I believe, is the random, you know. No, they're talking about the bigger things.
Right?
How does that get missed?
Mm-hmm.
How does that get missed in your Christian churches? That your pastors bring that out.
Right.
It's a warfare.
Mm-hmm.
It's warfare. Hebrews compares the word of the Lord to a two-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing in Ephesians, we're not going to read it all now, talks about armor and shields and swords. Okay, read that again.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Right, so that's going into the warfare is spiritual, right? It's against spiritual wickedness in high places, all right? Let's run it back.
And, you know, they got to understand, too, the scriptures say that God is not tempted of evil. And when it's talking about the evil, it's talking about the evil that comes from us.
Right.
Not what he's doing according to his will. There's two different evils there.
Right.
Just to make that distinction.
Right. Come on.
And you see these messages, some of the people that stood up, they stood up because they feared God.
Yeah.
Okay. And for you, with your life, it's been interesting watching you go through your evolution of your faith.
Yes.
Pre-2022, former atheist, a couple of the things you said in the past, God isn't real because you can't prove it.
Yep.
Okay, kind of like that was more the Malcolm X argument, right? Bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people far too often for God to exist.
Yep.
I'm the center of my universe. That's pre-2020.
Yep.
Then gradually you start talking about Christianity and, you know, in 2020 you made a video announcing that you were wrong about what you have said previously about God, right? Now you start saying people are who are atheists are angry, bad energy people, and I don't want to be on that team anymore. And even if God is not real, the world is a better place if people do believe in God. I know God is real because there's so much evil in the world that there has to be an equal and opposite force. The devil can't exist if God does not. And if you look at the world today, it is very obvious that the devil does not exist. And I'll go to the last one here with Muslim from you. Christians don't have a religion anymore because they tolerate everything and stand for nothing.
Yes.
And by the way, I actually agree with you, the fact that they're tolerating way too much. Islam is the last religion on the planet. God is something to be feared, respected, and to prove yourself to, which means you got to earn his right.
Yes.
It's a, hey, I want to earn your right and your respect, right? How did you go, if you don't mind talking about your own evolution, because us as men,
when
you were 25 years old,
did you stop it?
You probably would have liked that party with me. I was a selfish guy. I was the guy you would have thought I was, right? And we go through this phase of where the selfishness kind of comes down a little bit. You still need to be selfish because you need to be driven.
Yeah.
But to the point where you're like, listen, man, I got to really do something. And then somehow, some way, God answers. What's been your evolution of your faith, and where are you at today?
Yeah, I think Newton's, I think it's third law. He pulled off the force that you just said there.
So stop for a second. I want to deal with the, hold on, I was trying to pull my thing up. Because I know we got some points in the video that we had highlighted. I want to make sure we jump into some of those. Hold on a second.
And Adika, you can see the evolution that he's lost.
Right.
He went from being atheist to Christian to is like he's literally searching for God.
Literally.
And it got so, because once you have money, you have spat, you have all these worldly things, these vanities. It's that void that you were talking about earlier, Deacon, that you know something's missing, but you can't fill the void with anything that you're trying to attain.
Right, right, absolutely. I'm trying to look at where we put, okay, we have reposted the topic content. All right, so we'll where are we at now? We haven't even got to that part yet. But he said something about the opposing force, and last week we spoke about it, right? Well, I'm not going to go over those exact scriptures again. I had basically addressed this, and a lot of times I brought this out whenever it comes to the devil and Satan. But I want to bring this out in Job again to show you that the scripture shows you plainly that there is no equal opposing force to God, right? We were going over the Epicurus quote. Let's pull that up, actually, the Epicurus quote, because that'll be good for this as well. And you know, obviously, most of us like Andrew Tate. He's, you know, there's something we don't agree with everything he says. Certainly not with his, you know, with Islam.
Right.
He says some things that are, you know, different, but he's clearly makes some good points.
Right.
And a lot of stuff he says, and that's like anything else. You know, people have like shades of something. And you can tell that there's something there, but it's up to us to kind of
fill it in.
Yeah, you know, and show in the scriptures there. But that's a big thing for a lot of our people. And I know those of us who are already repenting, and, you know, I mean, I know a large percentage of the audience is people who are already repenting, but we do get new people who are learning new and things like that. And we have a lot of these old things in our head, especially in regards to you know, Satan. And I want to talk about that a little bit, about God and Satan. And we'll probably do a part three because we have a lot of talking points in this video that we didn't get to, and we're not going to get to tonight. So those will next week, where we're exclusively on the Phoenix page.
Phoenix,
all right.
Page.
We'll be able to go into it some more. But let's read this in Job so we can see where there's a hierarchy in heaven.
Right.
And we're going to see where Satan falls in that. And it's not the lie of this equal opposing force. I'm sorry, before you read that in Job, let's read this. Don't read my touch on this.
Is God willing to prevent evil but not able? Then he is not omnipotent.
Right, so omnipotent is all powerful. And he's saying if he's willing to prevent evil but he can't, then he's not God, right?
Right.
And you have to realize that, and the reason I bring this quote out is that makes a lot of sense when you try to say that there's a devil, right? See, this is where you get people that get disenchanted with this fairy tale, that what that Christianity is, right? Christianity teaches you it's God and the devil versus each other. And all the evil that happens is the devil, and all the good is God.
Right.
So then you have the people who say, well, there is no God, because how could all this evil happen? That's a logical
response.
Right. Because how is he God then? He's not omnipotent.
Right.
If he wants to stop the evil but can't.
Right.
So you say the devil wins?
He's lost.
Or is it the definition of a God
that is false?
That is going to, a real God is going to allow certain things to happen. And this is where he addresses it in the next time.
Right, come on. Then he is not omnipotent.
Uh-huh.
Is he able but not willing?
Right. There's circumstances where he's not willing. And it's because he made it so.
Right.
Scripture says, I kill and I make alive. Go ahead, come on.
Then he is malevolent.
No, right? So let's get that definition of malevolent again, all right? Let's get that definition of malevolent. What are you going to say?
I'll agree with
him. Oh, okay. Yeah, you keep reading it. We'll come back to malevolent.
Is he both able and willing?
Oh, yes, he is. Come on.
Then whence cometh evil?
Is that Satan? Uh-huh.
Is he neither able nor willing? Then why call him God?
Right.
Then
he don't have no power. Right. So really the question that you
got that definition
all of this is he both able and willing? Then whence cometh evil?
Right.
Right. Let's get that scripture about I kill, I make alive. All right. The light and dark. Let's run them back real quick.
All right.
I create good and evil.
Yeah.
Let's bring that out real quick.
It was heavy. Last week we talked about we were going to bring up the priest. The fear of God nowadays is taught by the precept of men.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Malevolent. All right. Having or showing a wish to do evil to others, right? Remember, he is God. What else we got on that? All right, come on, let's scroll down. Let's see what dictionary says.
You see the synonyms was violent? Didn't he drown everybody back in?
Yes, he did. Didn't he kill all the firstborn?
Look at that. Evil, right. Harmful, injurious. Quick, see more. Let's see what else they got. That evil, harmful, or injurious. He's an omnipotent God. Go back to the Epicurus thing. He's an omnipotent God, meaning he's all powerful. See, this is the contradiction that Christianity, that the precepts of men will tell you.
Right.
And you get you're confused, and you look stupid when you're trying to defend us. Your Christian fairy tale.
Right.
So then you try to come up with something else that more closely aligns to it. Instead of having that fear of God, start applying his commandments, and then the scriptures all of a sudden become unsealed to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to study, and you can see what it says there.
Right.
That's the in-between that I left out.
Yeah.
But then you start to see what's there.
That's like what Christ said. If you become as this little child, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. You can't see what's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to see.
No.
Right. Remember, it's the Lord that poured out the spirit of deceit.
Right.
It's only him that's going to be able to open it up, right? Mm-hmm. So it says, is he able but not willing? Then he is malevolent.
Mm-hmm.
And he is.
Yeah.
Because it says, is he both able and willing? Then whence cometh evil, right? I like that last part because it's true. In your Christianity, then why do you call him God if he's not able to fight evil?
Right. Or willing.
If Satan can win any battle against him, just one,
right?
Then that's not God.
Right.
That's like the atheist statement right there.
Right.
I don't believe it.
And that's what I'm saying. You see how important it is what we do?
Yeah.
See the warfare, the spiritual wickedness? A lot of times we think of it as just Sodom agenda and everything else. Do you see what they really have you do is worship a weak, puny God.
Yeah.
Puny. Right? That does not have full autonomy and power.
Right.
And if that's the case, then... What is that? What is he really a God, and what does that make his followers?
Right.
So what they've really done is by design that the whole construct, Christian construct, is set up to have a scenario like this, because they don't really they want you to have just enough of something to pacify you,
mm-hmm.
but not enough for the real truth to come out.
They want your fear to come from the precepts of men.
That's exactly it. The fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men. Let's get these scriptures that I tell you to bring out.
Mm-hmm.
Is he both willing, able and willing, then whence cometh evil? So we are going to show you. Because the presumption is that because he's God, he got to be all good. That's where you messed up.
That part right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Not my Jesus.
How do you call him the creator
if he don't destroy nothing?
and then subscribe evil to something else.
Right.
Or someone else.
You take credit from
that. He's the creator of evil. All is in his control. Man, I forgot the name of the show. It was real raunchy. But it was interesting in that it was the voice that was used for creation. God. Preacher. It's called Preacher.
Yeah, that show. Yeah.
I didn't finish it. It was like three seasons.
Yep.
It started getting real crazy. And basically, he had the power of the voice of God,
mm-hmm.
and it made anybody do whatever he wanted. The point that I want from that is that voice, if you're the creator,
mm-hmm.
it means it's all-powerful,
omnipotent.
Mm-hmm.
So that means it never said that it would be all good.
Right.
And then what's your definition of good?
Mm-hmm. Right, because his evil is just.
Yes.
Which is good.
See, you were getting at here, right?
Mm-hmm.
People like to muse on philosophy, your consciousness, and all that stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Wrap your head around that.
He filter out all the noise and the other stuff that's there. He said he went to Islam because Christianity tolerates too much. Christianity is not of the scriptures. Andrew Tate need to come and talk with us.
Right.
For real.
Right.
So Andrew Tate need to come have a little sit down with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to put him on the right track, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Someone said, I didn't even catch that. They said, Bishop said in a class that Christianity breeds atheism.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
It's the same spirit mover.
Right.
I didn't even know that was brought out. But that's exactly what we're essentially saying, mm-hmm. right? And we're not going to have time to get into it today in detail, but we're going to talk about where atheism comes from, where their belief of God comes from and stuff like that, and we go through that, all right? But let's read these scriptures real quick. Come on.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 39. See now that I am he, and there is no God with me.
Right, because what you're saying is that Satan is a God then that's equal to him.
Right.
He's that opposing force, right? Come on. I kill, and I make alive.
Mm-hmm.
I wound, and I heal. He wounds, and he heals. He kills, and he makes alive. Come on. So when you say, oh, I can't believe in a God that allows babies to get killed. No, he didn't allow it. He did it. How about that?
Right.
No bombs. Nothing.
Put that in your crack pipe. And throw that like three.
They did the delayed bomb.
Producer back there, like, he kills babies.
Right. Come on. I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand.
There is none that delivers out of his hand. It's him. He's that all power. That's omnipotence. All right? Come on. What else you got?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 45 and verse 7. I form the light and create darkness.
He forms the light and the darkness. And that's literal. And that's also dealing spiritually. Come on.
I make peace and create evil.
He makes peace and creates evil. So from whence cometh evil? From a God. The one true God. Did it ever?
I, the Lord, do all these things.
Christianity creates like a one-sided train of thought. They just blot out all the rest of the truth. It's like omitted.
You got something else?
I do.
Bring it out, Malak.
The book of Amos. Chapter 3, verse 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid?
Oh, that's the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not known it?
No, Satan does the evil.
And the Lord hath not done it?
Mm. Oh, my gosh. It says God does it. And, you know, it's interesting because this Epicurean thing, Christianity was around at this time. So going to the statement that Sister St. Bishop had brought that out, that it breeds atheism, this is the genesis of it when you think about it.
Right.
It made any rational person will see how irrational Christianity is. So I'm actually not upset at people who want to say, to hell with the Bible, if they've never been exposed to the teaching the way it should come out. So an Israelite that's going precept upon precept,
right,
bringing it out the way that it should be. If all you got from your scriptures was from Christianity and the Christian church, then you know what? I pity you.
Damn.
I can understand. I can empathize with where you were with all that stuff.
And that's heavy because you look at Andrew Tate, from him going from atheist to Christianity to Islam, all he was doing is following logic.
Right.
Like if you, and it's not, we know it's not based on sound. We're destroyed for our lack of knowledge, God's knowledge. But he's trying to use logic to come to an understanding of what he can find as God until that glorious light be shined unto him.
Mm-hmm. I got one. We got to get it. Go ahead. Bring it up.
Let me get Psalm chapter 14, verse 1.
The book of Psalms, chapter 14 and verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart.
The who?
The fool hath said in his heart.
Uh-huh.
There is no God.
The fool said in his heart that, what do you mean? My God, my Jesus doesn't kill babies. Because watch this. Read.
There is no God. They are corrupt.
They are corrupt.
They have done abominable work.
Because if he can kill babies for being innocent, he can kill me for being in my sin. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
Go ahead. Bring it up.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 29 and verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth,
mm-hmm.
and with their lips do honor me,
mm-hmm.
but have removed their heart far from me,
mm-hmm.
and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men.
And that's Christianity right there. And that's how they keep our people not believing in God.
Mm.
Because our fear is taught from the precepts of men. Guess what? Come as you are. Stay as you are. God got you.
He got you all right. He got you lined up for the lake of fire if you don't get your act together.
Right,
but see, they don't believe in the lake of fire. The lake of fire was taken away by Christianity. They don't believe in that.
There it is.
They don't really believe in it. Get that in Colossians about the beware. This is why this was brought out.
The book of Colossians, chapter 2 and verse 8.
Right, this was coincides with more or less of the time of people like Epicurus, like philosophers that were thinking of this stuff as the message got misconstrued, right? Come on.
Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit.
Right, meaning it's useless. All right, that goes back to what we were bringing out about making many books. There is no end, right? So weariness of the flesh. It says, beware lest any man spoil you.
Mm.
I mean, it's going to take you off your path. It's going to be to your own sore destruction, right?
Mm.
Through philosophy and vain deceit.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about logic. The Bible is the most logical thing ever written.
Right.
Exactly. It's the most logical. If you get that fear, you start to apply these commandments. And then you study and read, like the scriptures say, it all makes sense. Let me get that in Sirach. I don't know if it's 29, 39. I always get confused.
It's at 2 Timothy 3:16, too, where it talks about what the Bible is purposed 39. For.
First of all, you sound like you're a little voice in the room.
Right.
I can't hear you.
Right.
He sounds higher than him. I'm here playing with my dollar day. Can you guys get the audio good for next week? I don't know what's going on. People keep fat. Freaking fingers messing with the knob. Can we get the levels good next time? I hear him like he's like 10 rooms away talking to me through, like we're in jail and he's talking to me through the pipes.
It's
the freaking coffee can with the string. Like
I got a cup with a string.
That would sound clearer than what I hear you right now. My goodness. No, he be bringing up good points, but then I got to call. Wait,
say it again. Let me raise the volume.
Right.
What the hell is like that? Don't tell me it's money either. Let's get where we need to get to do what we got to do.
Right.
Sirach 39, start at 1.
The book of Sirach, chapter 39 and verse 1.
Let me show you how logical it is. And that's that the Bible is the most logical thing there is. People talk about philosophy, maybe. We're going to come back to Colossians. The Bible is the most logical thing there is. It gives you the formula for rationalizing and understanding the whole world. All right?
Good.
Go ahead, come on, read this.
But he that giveth his mind to the law of the Most High.
Give your mind to the law first. Mm, you want to open up your understanding to logic?
Yep.
You want to open understanding your mind? First is really fear.
Right.
Right? But you won't give your mind to the law if you don't fear the Lord.
Right. Right.
So fear the Lord and give your mind. Give it. Trust in him and all that. The Proverbs 3:5.
Right.
Be not on your own understanding. Mm-hmm. Right? Come on.
And is occupied in the meditation thereof.
You study.
Mm-hmm.
You're occupied in the meditation thereof. Don't mean you sit here and put the Bible in here and go home. Right. It don't mean that you're watching only 1,000 classes.
Right.
I brought this out when I did the class recently. You got to read. Don't forget the reading for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You got to read to see if the Most High is opening up understanding to you or not.
Right.
Come on.
Will seek out the wisdom of all the ancients.
And where do you get that? That means you're going to be here reading.
Right.
You're going to be going through all the prophets, all the books of the Bible. Come on.
And be occupied in prophecy.
Right. And be occupied in prophecy. All the Bible's prophecy.
Yeah.
Right? It don't mean just, oh, no, see, this is why I like Revelation. This is why I like Daniel and Ezekiel and Job. Those things mean nothing if you don't have the rest.
You got to have the totality.
You have to have the totality of it. Go ahead, come on, read.
He will keep the sayings of the renowned men.
We're meaning like you ain't trying to make your own words up and things like that.
Right.
You're going to keep these sayings of the renowned men, the prophets in the Bible. Come on.
And where subtle parables are, he will be there also.
Right. Mm-hmm. So meaning this goes into wanting to be there in the scriptures and wanting to be there when leadership is bringing things out, right?
Right.
Go ahead, come on.
He will seek out the secrets of grave sentences and be conversant in dark fairies.
So you see the progression, though, before you get there, before you get to the deep answers, you got to go through these steps. Come on.
He shall serve among great men.
Right. It says if you're going to be a great leader, you got to know how to be a great follower. You will serve among great men. Come on.
And appear before princes.
That's those what princes, principalities, powers, right? going out and teaching his word, spiritual wickedness in high places. Come on.
He will travel through strange countries.
That goes in this, and this doesn't all happen at once.
Yeah.
This is a
yeah.
process of growth in these scriptures. And it says you will travel through strange countries, right? A man travel knows many things. Come on. Read.
For he hath tried the good and the evil among you.
Through exercise of use, he knows how to discern between good and evil.
Come on. He will give his heart to resort early to the Lord that made him.
Meaning that when trouble comes, you don't flee.
Right.
You turn to these scriptures. So when the brothers talk about I'm stressed, right, I'm this, I'm that, I got to get right, I need a break because I'm overwhelmed with this.
Mm.
No. It says you need to get to the point where you resort early to the Lord that made them. Come on.
And we'll pray before the Most High.
And you're going to pray, right? And we know that now we've been building up the brothers and sisters to pray three times a day as the scriptures have commanded us. Mm. Come on.
And we'll open his mouth in prayer and make supplication for his sins.
Come on.
When the great Lord will, he shall be filled with the spirit of understanding.
Remember I said earlier, God who gives the increase, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's in Isaiah where it talks about he poured out the spirit of deep sleep on us, right? Yeah. Prophet and his fears, right? You've covered their eyes. But it says when God is ready to, you will be filled with the spirit of understanding. But you got to go through all, and we could do a whole class where we precept all these verses. You just gave a few. I had quoted a few.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure your fingers is here. It's just to go to a bunch of them, right? But we're on like the last 10 minutes of the show. So
yeah,
No. You know what I didn't realize? I don't know if they still did it a lot. I think Captain Gadd comes on after.
Oh, snap.
Oh, yeah.
But he don't come on until we're done.
Okay.
So I feel kind of bad. I mean, if I got to plus it, I'll plus it.
Right.
But he was like, no, do your thing. I said, no, I want to be mindful that we never had another show behind us.
Right. You're getting with the manual override.
we done been a late show.
So Kevin Gabby wait, they be waiting to be done so that they can come on.
Mm.
So I'm like, damn, you know? I said, I feel kind of bad. So I want to be conscious, you know, because he'd be bringing out some good stuff, especially
about,
you know, the native stuff and things like that. So, but anyway. So it says God will fill you with the spirit of understanding, right? Come on.
He shall pour
the
out wise hours. Sentences.
And then
natives
you'll
hours.
Have wisdom to pour out wise sentences. Come on.
And give thanks unto the Lord in this prayer.
So you thank for the wisdom that you do have, and you pray for the increase in understanding.
That's
come on.
Application.
He shall direct his counsel and knowledge.
Right. Meaning what? As is needed, I'm going to be able to direct now that somebody that has counsel and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Just like here, right? That goes back to what Jethro Moses, where he said, you know, get people to help. And any matter that's too big for them, then they bring to you.
Right.
This is how you have with the ranking structure that we have, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have soldiers, you have officers of different ranks, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to deal with certain things because all of us are in the process of what we're reading here,
mm-hmm.
right? They're going to be able to deal with certain things, and then they're going to be able to, if it's too strong for them, I'll say, this is something I need to go. That's part of directing your counsel and knowledge,
mm-hmm.
right? You're going to be able to say, hey, let me go to that. And I know it's tempting, right? You sit somewhere with a captain or a senior officer or even a deacon, and I just want to go right there. It's right there. I almost touch him.
Right.
But that's not the order of things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's so much that we're directing and ordering our counsel and our knowledge in. You got to go through the process and have trust that the Spirit of the Most High is moving with people like we've read here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Hey, come on.
He shall direct his counsel and knowledge, and in his secrets shall he meditate.
Right, meaning that we are then in his secrets going to meditate. Come on.
He shall show forth that which he hath learned.
You're going to see that this person applies.
Right.
It's not just in teaching. You're going to see it in actions. Come on.
And shall glory in the law of the covenant of the Lord.
Read on.
Many shall commend his understanding, and so long as the world endureth, it shall not be blotted out. His memorial shall not depart away. And his name shall live from generation to generation.
Right. So, damn. I mean, that's logical. Let me get some about 3:23.
Yes, sir.
This is why what the scripture says this. All right. A lot of times we bring this out. Tell the brother, stop trying to be deep.
For real.
Come on.
The book of Sirach, chapter 3, verse 23. Be not curious in unnecessary matters. For more things are shown unto thee than men understand.
You got a buffet in front of you with these scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you don't fall into the atheist trap, that's Christianity, that you don't fall into that philosophical, what about this, what about that? It says, don't be curious in unnecessary matters.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what we just read in Sirach 39. It's logical.
Right.
It's spiritual.
Right.
And it's logical. Right? Come on, read.
For many are deceived by their own vain opinion.
No, I'm sorry. You didn't finish 23. Be not curious on that.
Be not thing. Curious in unnecessary matter.
What? Come
For
on.
More things are showed unto them than men understand.
And that's clear because this Bible has been here for thousands of years. You have countless denominations of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
You have offshoots of other religions that quote the Holy Scriptures.
Right.
But they can't understand it. They don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Get me that? Is it in Luke where he says, blessed are your ears and your eyes? For many have desired to know.
Why are you looking for that? Can we read 21?
Yes.
I wanted to keep reading on here, actually. Okay. So while he does that, can you read on and then you could go to 21? Go ahead. Come on.
Okay. Sirach 3:21.
No, read 24.
Oh, 24.
Bring on
okay.
21 after this.
For many are deceived by their own vain opinion.
That goes back to what we read in Colossians. I know I have you guys all over the place. This is why it says, beware. All right, from philosophy and vain deceit, it says, because many are deceived by their own vain opinions. Mm-hmm. Come on.
And an evil suspicion hath overthrown their judgment.
Right, and an evil suspicion have overthrown their judgment, right? Because you're so caught up in, like, hey, there got to be a trick. There got to be a trap to all this stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this has many things. An evil suspicion will overthrow your judgment against somebody else, a brother or sister, right? Come on. Mm-hmm. Without eyes, thou shalt want light, meaning those spiritual eyes, right? Come on. Profess not the knowledge, therefore, that thou hast not. Stop trying to reach for things that's above your strength. All right? Mm-hmm. It says, profess not the knowledge that thou hast not. And any man that's humbled in the scriptures, that understands the logicalness of the scriptures, all right, you're going to know where to draw that line, right?
Mm-hmm.
So say any brother who's beholden to this thing that follows those steps of Sirach 39, you're going to pass the buck when you need to pass the buck.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're going to say, hey, it is above my strength. I need this. I need that. Okay, come on, read.
A stubborn heart.
No, okay, I don't need that. I don't need that. Okay. Let me read this, and then I get. Then you can get 21.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
The book of Luke, chapter 10.
Verse 23 said, for more things are shown unto thee than men understand, right? Come on.
Verse 23. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see.
Right. Now, he was talking specifically to the disciples at that time, but now we have that understanding magnified in these last days, right? He says, blessed are the eyes. Go ahead, read it.
For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things.
That's the thing. This is where you get all these religions, all these things. I'm sorry, I'm going to let you get your 21 mm-hmm. because I want to finish Colossians mm-hmm. 2 to bring it back to that point after we read this. Is it 2 and 8 or 3 and 8?
2 and 8.
Yeah, I want to finish that after we read this. Read this part again.
For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see.
Right, it says many prophets and kings. He said there were even prophets that didn't get the measure that you guys got learning with me face to face.
Right.
He says many prophets and kings have desired to see, to know those things that you know. Come on.
And have not seen
them. And have not seen them. So what do? They make stuff up.
Right. Like Christianity.
They get into this philosophy and these precepts of men.
Right. Mm-hmm.
To try to give you some rationale behind it. Hey, and let's not get it twisted, like Islam too.
That's right.
Come on.
To hear those things which ye hear. And
hey, and you gotta understand something. I wanna say something here, because I know a lot of our brothers and sisters are in Islam, and they will take offense when we talk about Islam.
Right.
And I get where that comes from, because I'll take offense when you talk about the scriptures. But Islam is not your identity. It is not a personal attack when we say that. You do not find the face of your people in Islam. You find the face of your people in the Bibles. So we're gonna defend the Bible. Vehemently we are,
right.
We will, all right? Voraciously, with passion and conviction, because our identity is in the Bible. Your identity is not in Islam.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the origins of where it was made up. You look at who it was taught to. It's not for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your armor. That's not your sword. So you're getting it twisted, and you think when we attack Islam that we're attacking you, and I get how that can be the case on the surface. But you got to put that guard down and realize that, again, it's because you keep looking at this as white man, and Islam's the closest thing you could get to something where somebody has some color, supposedly, that brought it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you roll with that, right? And it got popularized here with the Nation of Islam and the teachings, and it gave our people community. It gave them something to be action, because you got to admit they did. Not so much these days, but they did for a time, right? They have some action behind it. They did some stuff, right?
The newspapers.
They got some numbers behind it and stuff like that. You got to work on that doctrine piece.
That's right.
You got to work on that doctrine piece. you know, they went out, they represented the community and showed face and things like that. Mm-hmm.
With the suits, they showed uniformity and discipline.
Imagine if that zeal and conviction, that zeal that's not according to knowledge, can be humbled into the scriptures more. But if they can follow those steps in Sirach 39 like we just read.
Right. That's right. Ezekiel 37. Right.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Let's bring something like that together. But make no mistake about it, this includes Islam too, right? But go ahead, come on.
And to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them.
Right? And to hear those things which we hear and they have not heard them. That goes with what we read in 23, which says, more things are shown unto you than men understand. Now, let me get back to Colossians 2 and 8, and I'm going to let the officer bring his script. Right? Come on. This is the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you. This is why you got to beware. Watch out.
Danger.
Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. They don't know, so they make it up. Right? Mm-hmm. Was it 24 that said?
Yes, sir. 23.
24 for many are deceived. For many are deceived by their own vain opinion and evil suspicion have overthrown their judgment, right? Mm-hmm. So they reached at 25. So profess not the knowledge, therefore, that thou hast not. So instead of applying that in the scriptures, what they did was, I gotta figure something out. So I'm going to pick what's out there, right?
Right.
That's kind of like, man, you go to the Benji spot and you say, man, let me get the Oscar Mina have that. And you go and you say, all right, let me get the jerk chicken meat to have that. Damn. Right? And then you go and you say, all right, you
got
to pick from what's there.
We got
so you couldn't get what you really wanted spiritually.
Right.
So you went somewhere else.
That's what happened. As we go into it next week, you'll see about that. But he's not wrong in what he's searching for.
Right.
So he picked whatever made the most sense because that's all that's available to him.
Right.
Because he tried to do it himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing I got out of this segment here. He tried to do it himself without religion.
Right.
This is why the interview's telling him, you know, you said this, you said that, this is your evolution and your faith. And now he's settled on this because he don't know about us yet.
Right.
Right.
Or he hasn't given us enough credence, if he does know that part, to sit down and really listen. Right? So go ahead. Read this in Colossians 2 and 8 again. The book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world.
Tradition of men are those man-made religions.
Right.
Those man-made, Christianity is a man-made religion.
Mm-hmm.
Our religion is the law, statutes, and commandments. The difference is that religion is something that anybody can put on.
Yes.
But this is only for us.
Right.
This is only for us. Okay, finish up. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Because it's not after Christ. Not after the real Christ of the scriptures.
Right.
That's how you can get a Christian talking about tolerate this, tolerate that.
The black mind.
No. Don't go that way. Yeah, bring up what you want to bring up.
All right, let's get a Sirach 3 and 21.
The book of Sirach, chapter 3 and verse 21.
And this is just backing up what you were saying from verse 23.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Seek not out the things that are too hard for thee.
Uh-huh.
Neither search the things that are above thy strength.
Oh, shoot.
The thing is, with Christianity, they make John 3:16 above your strength.
Mm-hmm.
They make the Sabbath day and all of the laws that we keep above your strength. So the things that we should be doing is doing what? Getting with being continually with the godly man that keeps the commandments so that they can guide us, to show us how to study the Bible, how to pray to the Most High, and how to apply these things, so that we can continue to grow as a nation.
Mm. Y'all praise to the Most High. All praise to the Most High.
Next verse.
You want to read it? Go ahead. Yeah. Bring it up.
Verse 22. But what is commanded thee,
mm-hmm.
think thereupon with reverence.
So whatever the little bit that you do have, you need to think upon that with reverence and respect and work on those things. If you only know to keep your fringes on, wear your fringes. And then the Most High Lord will give you some more understanding. Now you congregate.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're keeping the Sabbath.
Or it is not needful for thee to see with thine eyes the things that are unseen.
See, the Most High understands that knowledge puffeth up. So you only need to have what you got in front of you right there and trust that that's good for you at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because he'll deal with you, he'll walk with you in crooked ways until he opens up that level of understanding. Read that verse 22 again.
Verse 22. But what is commanded thee,
uh-huh.
think thereupon. All
right. Now read Sirach 39 and 1. That also goes with this. What's commanded thee? Upon.
The book of Sirach, chapter 39, verse 1.
Come on.
But he that giveth his mind to the law of the Most High.
Think thereupon. What's commanded thee? The laws. The laws. The problem is all these people out there with all this consciousness, they want what the Bible got to give them, but they don't want to do what the Bible got to say.
Damn.
So what they do is they find the thing that best fits their philosophy, their vain deceit, deceiving their own selves.
Their precepts of men.
Right? Give me that about the simplicity that's in Christ.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's not, that's what I'm saying, it's logical. It ain't that hard. But you don't want to change.
This is the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by me, as the serpent beguiled Eve,
and that's what you get with all these different religions, with all these, the whole cult of personality, and everybody talking about you got to accept this, you got to tolerate that.
Go ahead, come on. Mm-hmm. Through his subtlety.
Through the subtlety that's there.
Mm-hmm.
Through the subtlety of it. Because you know what the subtlety is? It'll start off with, you know, a little mention. And then before you know it, it's in every movie, it's in everything, and it don't even have anything to do with the plot. It's in every ad, it's in all this other stuff, right?
Right.
It's all in your face. Come on.
So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
It's a corruption to your mind and how simple it really is to apply these scriptures, right?
Mm-hmm.
Usually the solution is the simplest answer, right?
Right.
It's what we're teaching is not a stretch and not complicated. If you really think down and think of that simplicity that's in Christ, everything else is more complicated to accept than believe.
Dave, if you love me, keep my commandments.
It's simple. And that is simple, right?
And the commandments are not grievous.
Right. That goes into, I think I have brought it out before, Occam's razor.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They call it Occam's razor. But, you know, people don't want to apply that thing. Let me see if we got it up there. Can you pick, like, a quick screen grab of it?
Occam's razor.
Right? Basically, it's saying the simplest outcome is usually the one.
Just talk about Occam's razor.
Right? The simplest outcome is the right one. Can y'all look something up with that? I'm trying to look it up now. And then we got
Occam's razor,
wrap.
Yeah. I think you just got to pull it on
there. We'll carry on next week.
While we wait, you know what's heavy about Sirach 3 and 22, where it says,
something like
it's painful for thee to see with thine eyes the things that are in secret.
Mm-hmm.
When we read in Ephesians 6 about what we wrestle against, these principalities, the spiritual wickedness in high places,
the power.
Everybody wants to fight back, but they don't know how or they don't know where to start.
Right.
It just told you the simplicity of it is to think upon God's commandments and keep them.
In your mind,
And then from that point, you don't have to sit there and worry about what you don't see with your eyes.
You don't
see these secret meetings that are going on. Everyone knows there's an agenda, but we don't see what's really going on. You don't need to.
Right. And read this again about the simplicity in Christ, and then we're going to read the Occam's razor thing.
This is the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Listen, it's not that complicated. And Christianity, when you bring out things, that's why I say we got to start throwing this stuff on them. You need to explain this to me.
Right.
You're trying to take me. I'm the expert.
Right.
Why do I got, you have to explain your rationale.
Yeah.
I don't need to be here trying to freaking break your stuff down.
Right.
You explain this to me. And it should make sense, right? The simplicity that's in Christ. So Occam's razor is used. It's used in scientific theories. But let's read just this little part right here.
Occam's razor is a principle often attributed to 14th century Friar William of Occam that says that if you have two competing ideas to explain the same phenomenon, you should prefer the simpler one.
Right? Or I have another one up here that's in simpler language. It says in simpler language, Occam's razor states that the simplest explanation is preferable to the one that is more complex.
Mm-hmm.
Simple theories are easier to verify. Simple solutions are easier. The hoops that you have to jump through to justify white Christ, to justify that all of a sudden God, despite everything that the Bible says, God changed all that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let me get it real quick. I'm going to show you how simple this is. And how we've overcomplicated it. Give me Matthew 1:1-2, and then I think we're going to jump to 17.
You said Matthew what?
I'm sorry, we're going to jump to, we're going to jump to
Matthew 1:1.
Well, I want 1:1.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 1 and verse 1.
Let me show you simple and how Christianity trashes that and throws it away.
Uh-huh. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren.
Right, so the first book in the New Testament starts with this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Starts mm-hmm. with telling you the genealogy of Christ, and it says Abraham begat Isaac, mm-hmm. and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. Now, jump to verse 21.
Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Now, without getting into grammar, because a lot of times we just break this out real quickly on the street of grammar,
I'll
say
bring it out.
His people, right?
Right.
From their sins. And they'll say spiritually, that means we're his people.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 2 again.
Verse 2. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren.
Now read 21 again.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus.
Why?
For he shall save his people.
Judah and his mm-hmm. brethren mm-hmm. are his people. Come on.
From their sins.
Judah and his brethren
are his people.
How hard is that to comprehend?
Reading is fundamental.
Damn. It starts with that.
Right.
The whole documentation that we have of Christ in these last days starts with letting you know that he descends from Judah and his brethren.
Yeah.
And then you get to verse 21. And it says he's going to save his people from their sins. And somehow today, that means he's for everybody in the whole earth.
Right.
And with that, I say shalom. Wham. With that, I say shalom. Hey, catch us next week. We are not going to be on IUCI in the classroom. All right? We are not going to be on IUIC in the classroom. We're going to be exclusively on IUIC Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
We will promote it on social. We will push out the ads. If you come and you don't find us on IUIC in the classroom, spread the word. Let them know to come to the Phoenix page. All right? We'll be broadcasting there. We're going to continue on God and Satan. We'll have our little marriage moments. All right? We got a lot more to talk about. I didn't even get to the thing with Job. We got a lot more to talk about. I want to bring down God, the atheism, and all that stuff like that. All right? Lord's will, you had some fun, and you also got edified today.
Right.
Some wisdom came out. Yes.
Judah, come through next week.
You got a whole week. I want 8 combos.
You said 7.
Yeah, you said 7.
You said 7.
You're moving the goalpost. I want 7 combos. Come with your list. 7 combos for your Judah restaurant.
Right. Hold it down, y'all. We need
all right. Okay. Now, you had one Judah in the combo. Judah, the best nerd, and that's why everybody... Oh, God. Listen, Judah and his brethren we just read, all
right?
It's all 12 tribes.
Worldwide.
Listen, when one of us win, we all win.
That's right.
And
that's
if
right.
Judah really had the best food, I'll win it, because we all win. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case.
Damn!
Love y'all, fam. Most High Christ bless y'all. Stay safe. Shalom.
Shalom.
Oh, boy. Huh? One of these days. One of these days is going to cooperate.